Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. We're ready to bring clarity to the chaos with a week full of studying secret societies and the role that they play in the end times. First, though, we want to say thank you to everyone who attended our Tri-Cities Prophecy in the News live event over this past weekend. Thank you to Antioch Baptist Church, who hosted a wonderful event with hundreds of people learning and fellowshipping with one another. Our next event is May 3rd and 4th in Bel Air, Kansas. You can register and see the complete schedule of speakers and topics when you visit the events page of our website, swrc.com. Friends, where did secret societies originate? What role do they play in the end times? Let's join Micah Van Hus as he begins a brand new series that takes a look at the secret societies that have shaped our world today.
Hello, and welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a production of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. We're so glad to have you with us today. Our guest is Micah Van Hus. Micah is the host and the producer of the Marginal Mysteries series of books and DVDs made available through Southwest Radio Church Ministries. That's swrc.com. And he is the author of Ancient Cities and The Earth as It Was, two delightful books. And today we're going to be talking about a beautiful new book called Secret Societies. Welcome, Micah.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on the program. And it's wonderful to be able to sit in the room with you and talk some more. We were buddies during our political days in the Tennessee legislature. We called you the political Yoda of Tennessee, me and the Hill brothers, because you were our wisdom. So it's wonderful to be sitting down with you for the book Secret Societies.
That's very sweet of you to say. I hope our listeners know not to believe a word of it. You and I have talked previously about your interest in and your study for what became Marginal Mysteries. And I wanted to ask you first, since this is a little bit different, this is taking a little bit different tack, what was it that inspired you to start getting into the stories and the information for secret societies? And by the way, the book is just filled with information. I don't know how many hours you have put into it, but it shows.
Well, thank you, John. My inspiration was my love for these things mysterious, and specifically in secret societies. The stories that we talk about, the Freemasons, the Illuminati, the Great Reset, the Great Deception, many, many topics throughout Scripture. As far as the genesis of my journey into Marginal Mysteries, Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, basically my brother 20 years ago showed me that in Genesis chapter 6, I was always taught in Sunday school as a kid that God chose Noah to survive the flood because he was righteous. Now that I'm an adult and I've read through, I don't think that God chose him because he was righteous. God chose him for another reason. Yes, Noah was righteous. But Genesis chapter 6 actually says Noah was perfect in his generations only four verses after talking about angels breeding into the human bloodline and having giant offspring. And then it says Noah was perfect in his generations, which meant that his bloodline had not been tainted with that of the Nephilim. So when my brother showed me that in Genesis chapter 6, that set me on the journey to study these things that are mysterious. And here we are 20-some years later. I produce Marginal Mysteries for Southwest Radio Ministries, and I love this job.
It's a wonderful thing to hear, and it shows, because your work is filled with energy and effort. Micah dedicates his book to his mom, his darling mother, this version. Previously, he had dedicated his book to his lovely helpmeet, his wife, Annie. He also now is the father of three beautiful children, Dixie, Scarlett, and Gunner. And so it's always important to mention our families and how much we appreciate them, and how, because their support is critical.
Absolutely. And we live in a day of third wave feminism, fourth wave feminism. It's one of those feminist waves now. But my wife has enabled me to be able to do this job. She works hard at home, taking care of the kids, taking care of the house. And she's so supportive in what we do. So as you said, I did dedicate my second book, The Earth as It Was, to her. And, you know, God knew what he was doing when he gave me Annie as my wife, and I'm very much appreciative to her and to God. As you said, I dedicated secret societies to my mother, who throughout her whole life has always been kind to our friends, to anybody, and I very much appreciate my mother for her kindness. She shows the love of Christ. There's a lot of people in this world that don't show the love of Christ, and my mom does, so I appreciate that.
There couldn't be a grander tribute to either your wife or your mother than what you just said. Would remind you that all the products that we have mentioned and that we will be talking about through the course of these programs can be found at the website for Southwest Radio Church Ministries. That is swrc.com. And you can go there now and pre-order a brand new copy of Micah's beautiful new book, Secret Societies.
And you can also go to marginalmysteries.com, and those links will take you to SWRC's purchases. But also on Marginal Mysteries, we have t-shirts, other books, but those all still link to SWRC.com. So you can go to marginalmysteries.com or SWRC.com.
And Micah has some of the most wonderful designs for t-shirts and so forth. You'll fall in love with them just as soon as you see them. So there's the official plug. Well, Micah, I think the first thing that we want to do is to have an overview from you. Tell the listeners about the book and how it came together in your mind and then as you wrote it.
So Secret Societies, we basically at Marginal Mysteries, we take a look at God's universe from a biblical worldview. We look at all kinds of mysteries, but we do it from the foundation of the Bible. And one of the things I like to say at Marginal Mysteries is there is a whole lot more truth to mythologies than a lot of people like to give credit. There are so many mythologies that point to Scripture, that point to what was going on in the Bible. It's just other nations' versions of what's going on, not the inspired Word of God. So when we talk about secret societies, let me give you the overview. And in the next couple of days, we'll get into more of the details. But the overview of secret societies is, what are the secret societies and what are they trying to do and how did they come to be? So secret societies can be traced back to the antediluvian world before the flood of Noah. The earliest secret societies in the antediluvian world were the serpent brotherhood. And of course, we have a lot of imagery to the serpent in the Old Testament. In the Garden of Eden, we have the serpent. And so those are the oldest secret societies. And what we get into here in the Secret Societies book is that we'll start with Freemasonry. Freemasonry says, according to the Regis Manuscript written in 1390 AD, that Nimrod was the first excellent Grand Master of the Freemasons. And what you have with a lot of these societies, they're secret. And if they weren't secret and mysterious, we probably wouldn't be studying them here on the program, but you wouldn't need to study them because the answers would be readily available. So what a lot of these secret societies do is a lot like political candidates today. You push forward a good version of things, you show the world that this is what we're really about, what we're about, but behind the scenes, it's quite different. So these secret societies, a lot of them try to push forward a Christian personification, but really what's going on is quite different. So Freemasons, a lot of them will say in the Regis Manuscript, one of the oldest documents, will say that they came from Nimrod. Nimrod was the first excellent Grand Master. He hired Masons to build mighty Babylon, over 1,000 Masons, according to some historic texts. And he used them to build Babylon, and so he is the first excellent Grand Master. Now, a lot of Freemasons will say that Solomon, King Solomon, David's son, in Scripture, was the first Grand Master of the Freemasons. So what we will see as we talk about this, specifically in our section on New Atlantis, the America section, is that there was a schism in Freemasonry. That may still exist today, but you got kind of two sides of it. You got Freemasons who do believe in the theological God of the Bible, but you also have the sect of Freemasons who believe in human enlightenment. And we'll talk about that split between George Washington and Benjamin Franklin at the founding of our country. But so what's going on here with these secret societies is they are teaching forbidden knowledge. They're passing it through the elites for thousands of years now. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to usher in a final battle against the quote-unquote oppressive God of the Bible. These secret societies are trying to usher in the Battle of Armageddon. And guess what? The secret societies will be successful. They will usher in the Battle of Armageddon, but they will not win. the battle. We know that God wins that battle. And so along with trying to usher in the final battle against God, there are also passing forbidden knowledge. Where does this forbidden knowledge come from? Well, let's back up to the antediluvian world, which we talked about in my previous book, The Earth as It Was, and we will also talk about in my next book, Angels Eternal. The Watchers in Genesis chapter 6, they come down to the earth, they cohabitate with women, and they have giant offspring. Now, in the apocryphal book of Enoch, it is not inspired word of God, they teach all kinds of forbidden knowledge to mankind. Alchemy, astronomy, astrology, weapons, armor, makeup, abortion. They teach all kinds of forbidden knowledge to mankind. And we do find that in Scripture, one instance, and that's Revelation chapter 21, verse 17, Revelation 21, 17. John has a vision of a man measuring the walls of heaven, and he says he uses the cubit, the ancient measurement of the cubit, that is the measurement of an angel. So basically, Revelation 21, 17 shows us that the knowledge taught, the angels taught the cubit to mankind. So in the apocryphal book of Enoch, the watchers teach all kinds of forbidden knowledge to mankind. In Genesis chapter 4, we find the sons of Lamech, Jubal and Jabal. And it talks about in Genesis chapter 4 that one was a player of a harp and organ, basically a musician, one of the first in the world. The other one was an animal husbandman, tending to animals as an animal husbandman. And then one of the sons, Tubal-Cain, was an artificer of metals, a mixer of different metal types, alloys, which is technology that a lot of people don't realize existed before the flood. So what we see is all kinds of knowledge in the King James in Genesis chapter 4. But what Genesis chapter 4 doesn't say this, but over a dozen ancient writings, including Josephus, say that Jubal and Jabal, the sons of Lamech, they knew that the Creator was going to destroy the earth with either fire or water. They weren't sure which. So they preserved the knowledge of the watchers on two different pillars, one to survive fire, one to survive water. In the ancient Arabic legends, these are the Emerald Tablet. They're one. So two pillars. And then after the flood, the Greek god Hermes, who we know now as Hermes, found one of these pillars, and he shared that forbidden knowledge with Nimrod. Now, Nimrod in Scripture was the first rebel, the first widespread rebel against God after the flood. And he kind of, after God cleansed the earth with the flood, he kind of corrupted it again. And we get to the Tower of Babel scenario where God divides the worlds. So Hermes finds the knowledge of the watchers. We call these religions and philosophies of enlightenment, we call them the Hermeticism. We get into Hinduism, Buddhism, Theosophy, the New Age religion today. These are Hermetic religions, and we say that because Hermes found the knowledge of the watchers. And the knowledge of the watchers teaches human enlightenment. The knowledge of the watcher says that you, yourself, we don't need God. You yourself are a God. You will one day ascend into godhood. You will evolve into becoming gods. We see that a lot in today's evolution religion and New Age religions. And so what did the serpent tell Eve in the garden, John? He told her,
eat of the tree of the knowledge of life and good and evil, and you will be
as
God.
Yes, sir. So the serpent tells Eve she will become as God. That is what the knowledge of the watchers is teaching, that we will one day become gods ourselves. That is what the secret part of the knowledge that the secret societies have passed. Now, they, from the time of Babylon, they determined in the Egyptian mythologies, they would not, the Solar Brotherhood, that's what it is, the secret society, the Solar Brotherhood, that they would not write down this knowledge, but they would pass it through symbolism and allegory. And so what we see in these secret societies is a lot of symbolism and allegory, and these secrets are being passed through the millennium, not written down, but through the elites. So it's important as we go through the secret society study that to note that it's the elites of these groups. We're talking about the Catholic Church. We're talking about Freemasonry. We're talking about the Illuminati. We're talking about the Bilderberg Group, World Economic Forum. We're talking about these the elites of society, the 13 Illuminati bloodlines. It's the elites who pass this knowledge. And so just because you worship at the Catholic Church or work at the Catholic Church does not mean that you yourself are in on the plan. In fact, you're not in on the plan if you're a low-level member or initiate. So keep that in mind as we go through this, that it's the elites that are passing this knowledge. And so, but that's the overview, is that these secret societies are trying to usher in the final battle with the Creator and teaching humankind that you will one day become as gods. There's other knowledge from the Watchers that we will talk about, such as resurrection and other things, but for now, that's the overview.
You mentioned Nimrod. As I recall, he would be a grandson of Noah. Is that correct?
And
great-grandson.
I believe great-grandson.
Yeah. Okay, do you have an idea of how many years had transpired between the flood, we oftentimes call the flood of Noah, and the arrival of Nimrod on the scene as an adult, becoming a great hunter?
Now, just those four generations, I don't think the timeline is mentioned in the non-Christ genealogy, so I'm not sure the year specifically, but I believe Nimrod was the great-grandson of Noah. He could have been the grandson, but off the top of my head, I think it's great-grandson.
That's not the important part. What I was asking was, it took a few years for this to ultimately begin to develop. Do you think that there was nothing more difficult to understand, a reasoning that was any more hard to find, for keeping certain knowledge forbidden is a way of having strength and control over those who do not have the knowledge?
Absolutely, and you've hit on an important point of what we're seeing today with the elites, and of course we're getting the control of information from Google, from the social media groups. We're getting the control of what people can say and do. So yeah, absolutely. Keeping the knowledge from the masses is part of the goals. And so when we get, just before we get into the how Nimrod used this knowledge and the story of Nimrod, remember folks, you can pre-order my new book, Secret Societies, at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com, which will lead you to southwestradiochurch.com, SWRC.
And I think I failed to mention that when you hit on the homepage at SWRC, you want to look up at the top where it says resources. And there, if there's not a promo already out, I don't know, but that's where you can certainly find different.
And you can also find this conversation. All of our radio programs are at the top of the SWRC.com.
Watchmen on the Wall, yes. Okay, Micah, going back to this period of time and bringing forward then into the history of the modern history of our times, you pay considerable attention to bloodlines, especially of a certain few families that have been extremely influential in history, but also in their efforts to control history, to make a certain methodology work back in the 1800s, the 1600s, down through the years. Talk about that.
So when we get into the bloodlines, initially in the chapter we talk about the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati, which is Fritz Springmeier's speculation on who the elite families are today. In reality, it's a lot more than 13. Really what this goes to is there is a satanic bloodline, which I believe will lead to the Antichrist. This gets into the Ascended Masters. The Ascended Masters are people who are believed to have been immortal throughout history. Sir Francis Bacon was one of them. Saint Germain was one of them. Saint Germain was seen for a period of 250 years throughout Europe during the Renaissance. Many stories of him and how he never aged. But what's really going on is, rather than immortals, I think that there are evil spirits that have followed some of these bloodlines. And you know, some of the bloodlines are the Rothschilds, the Rockefeller, Kennedy, Onassis. But the one I want to mention that leads us into the Antichrist is the Merovingian bloodline, which is a Frankish bloodline. And that is believed. So what people say, and this gets us into the legend of the Holy Grail, the Knights Templar are the guardians of the Rex Deus bloodline, the Merovingian bloodline. And what they're, well, let's get into that a little bit later, but because we'll get into that on our America segment. But so we're seeing these families throughout history. The names do change because they like to adopt their firstborn into different families just to keep the bloodline of Satan secret until the Antichrist is revealed. But back to Nimrod and how this comes about. Nimrod builds his mighty Babylon and likely the Tower of Babel. The Bible doesn't say he built the Tower of Babel, but there are many ancient resources that say that Nimrod built the Tower of Babel. He used the knowledge of the Watchers to do that. And so what you have after the flood is God tells mankind to spread out through the world and multiply. He tells Noah and his sons to do that. And here comes Nimrod four generations later, directly disobeying God, saying, come, let us be gathered together and build a tower so that we can make a name for ourselves and we will not be spread out throughout the earth. So Nimrod, is his name means we will rebel, and he rebelled against God. So he becomes the man god. People are worshiping from Babylon. People are worshiping Nimrod. And what happens? We get the Tower of Babel, where God comes down and he confounds the languages. He divides the world into 70 nations, and instantaneously, in a moment, you have 70 different names for Nimrod. So many of these old gods that we read about are actually Nimrod that I speculate about in the book. For instance, the Egyptian god Osiris, the Egyptian god Horus are actually Nimrod. His wife is Semiramis, and she becomes Isis. Ishtar, the goddess, the primary goddess through all of history, is the wife of Nimrod. But Nimrod's all kinds of names instantaneously, and thus starts the mystery religion of Babylon, which will be revealed as the one world religion in the Revelation scenario. Excuse me. But fascinating, we're talking about Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 7, 8, and 9, where God divides the world into 70 to 72 nations. And verse 9 is where God chooses. It's the point in Scripture where God chooses Israel as his own nation. And so we'll get into the angels that I believe ruled the nations that brought back the Nephilim after the flood, specifically in my next book, Angels Eternals, but we'll talk about it a little bit in the next few programs. But it's fascinating stuff.
It truly is. Do you see a kind of a duplet or a simultaneous telling of the names and the symbolism that has been so prominent in history, and including American history?
So the most symbolism comes from Ishtar, Nimrod's wife, Semiramis. She is the eight-pointed star. The eight-pointed star we find in all kinds of artifacts from ancient times. But then we get into the Freemason star, and we get into the discussion of what is the secret of Freemasonry, which we'll talk about the secret of Freemasonry in another program. So yes, the eight-pointed star for sure, Ishtar's star, the Tower of Babylon. Tower of Babel is symbolism for the Illuminati, excuse me, the Freemasonry. And so yeah, there's definitely a lot of symbolism involved. And of course, and again, in our America segment, we'll get into the symbolism in Washington, D.C., the symbolism on the back of the dollar bill, and all kinds of symbolism. So, and then we're also going to get into the resurrection of Osiris when we talk about the end times and the beast empire. And again, this is knowledge from the Watchers that we talked about, the resurrection of Osiris, and that's going to be a fascinating topic. And so, but yeah, that's the overview of secret societies, and we'll definitely talk about the rest in the later programs.
We thank you so much for joining us today for Watchmen on the Wall, a production of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. Remember, you can visit the website at swrc.com and also the website at marginalmysteries.com, where you can order a copy of Micah Van Hus's new book, Secret Societies. We thank you for joining us today.
Much more from Micah on secret societies is coming up tomorrow on Watchmen on the Wall. Micah Van Hus's brand new book, Secret Societies, is now available. Should a Christian join a secret society? Are the Illuminati behind the Great Reset? Did the Knights Templar guard the Holy Grail? Is the Bilderberg meeting attempting to control the world governments? Find out in Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus. Order your copy today, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Did the Freemasons mastermind the American Revolution? Why is there so much Masonic symbolism in our country's infrastructure? Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus will set the record straight. Why have so many prominent American politicians visited the Bohemian Grove? Do they offer human sacrifices? Join Micah as he takes a look at the secret societies that have shaped our world. Secret Societies by Micah Van Hus. Order today at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. I want to encourage you to visit the Resource Center on our website, swrc.com. There you'll find over 1,000 books and DVDs by the nation's top teachers, Bible prophecy, biblical mysteries, and the latest archaeology and apologetics are all found at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. The latest resources from Lonnie Shipman, Micah Van Hus, Billy Crone, and Josh Davis are all found at swrc.com. And available for the very first time, the entire Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference. All 12 speakers, 20 total presentations, one complete DVD set. Topics include secret societies, the invisible war on the saints, Jewish roots of Christianity, the earth as it was, unveiling the Antichrist, one world update, and much more. Included in this complete set is Jonathan Kahn's presentation on the Josiah Manifesto. Order the complete Columbus Conference DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Brand new resources from SWRC are now available. Josh Davis's brand new book, Rise of the One World Mind, shows the reader how to thrive under the threat of globalism. Micah Van Hus's new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps. Join Micah as he takes a look inside the secret societies that have shaped our world today. Rise of the One World Mind and Secret Societies, two brand new resources available for you and your family from SWRC. Order your copies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Micah will continue his in-depth look at secret societies. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.